human beings are very adaptable, and that can work in our favour, and sometimes to our detriment if we're just ignoring big changes happening around us. Researchers in the United States investigated how we recognise unusual weather conditions and how quickly we get used to abnormal weather. The answer? Remarkably fast. What about you? Have you found yourself getting used to more scorching days in summer, or heat waves, or heavier downpours, or chancier rain? You can send a message to us via our Facebook page or an email via our website. Fran Moore is an assistant professor at the University of California, Davis. She was the lead author on this study. Fran, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we love to talk about the weather when we're chatting to each other one-on-one, but you've looked at social media. What were you hoping to find out about our attitudes towards extreme weather there?
Yeah, so what we were really interested in looking at was what kind of weather people think of as normal and then how that changes over time. And you can imagine that's kind of tricky, right? That it's difficult to measure what people think of as normal weather. And what we figured out was that if you can measure how people talk about the weather, then you can start to figure out what they think of as normal. And this is really key, because the great thing about talking about the weather is, like you said, kind of everyone does it all the time. But different weather gets talked about in different places at different times. And so, for example, like, I'm here in the Bay Area right now in San Francisco, and it's kind of beautiful sunshine, perfect temperature, light breeze, you know, these perfect conditions, but no one's going to talk about it because it's perfectly normal for San Francisco at this time of year. But if, say, New England was to have it, you know, everyone would be talking about it. And so it you know, the what type of weather we talk about can tell you about what you think is unusual.
So let's have a little look first about how you did this study, because you sifted through, I think, 2 billion tweets. Where did they come from and who was tweeting?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our 2 billion tweets came from the continental United States. And so it's kind of this collection of tweets. And the great thing about Twitter is, if we want to measure people talking about the weather, well, Twitter is great because it's widely used, so it kind of covers the whole of the United States. And then people are also kind of doing it continuously, right? And they're kind of continuously commenting on the weather they're experiencing right then. So this is people on Twitter, and it's people within the United States.
And so how did people talk about the weather? Obviously, it's, as you said, it's going to depend entirely on where they are. How did you kind of work out what was a normal or an abnormal weather for a particular tweet?
Yeah, so what we looked at was the volume of weather-related tweets in a particular county in a particular week, and then we related it to the temperature that county was experiencing in that week. And in particular, we were looking at kind of how different that temperature was from the historical average, as well as kind of what that temperature had been in previous years. And what we found was that, as you might expect, kind of people comment on weather that is unusual, right? But in particular, they comment on weather that is unusual and really uncomfortable. So you get a lot of comments about unusually cold weather and unusually hot weather.
We should also mention, I guess, that Twitter is not representative of the, you know, the broader cross-section of society. Do you know how your study sample skewed demographically?
Yeah, so we don't know that, but there are kind of a lot of people on Twitter, but I think we can say probably on average it tends to kind of slightly higher income groups, as well as slightly whiter than the kind of the average for the United States, and maybe slightly younger, although it's kind of not the social media platform of choice for kind of teenagers and so on.
Exactly. Still, I think it's been described as a really good kind of warning bell about how we respond to weather and how quickly we get used to what we might think of as a new normal. Fran Moore, what did you find? How long did it take people to become accustomed to what they thought of as a new baseline?
Yeah, so what we found this effect where people tweet about unusual weather. But what we also found was that if you start to experience that same weather kind of more than 2 years in a row, then that effect of kind of talking about it starts to decline. And in particular, if you experience that same unusual weather condition for about 5 years in a row, then people stop talking about it. And what we can infer from that, although we're not directly measuring it, but it would seem to imply that essentially people's idea of kind of what is worth worth commenting on in terms of what is normal has shifted over that time period. So it suggests that we get used to these new conditions on about a five-year time frame.
Wow, there are a lot of questions that arise there for me. Fran Moore, Assistant Professor at the University of California, Davis, about this big study that sifted through over 2 billion tweets to find out how we react to the weather. 5 years is not a very long time. What about happens with things like, say, the California fires that were so huge and so horrific in our understanding when they first started?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so kind of here we're looking at this temperature effect. And so I think there's still this open question about the degree to which you could then translate these findings to something like some kind of these really chronic, kind of very serious impacts of climate change, like the wildfires or maybe like kind of coastal flooding events. But what I would say, just kind of observing the response here in California, is that you do seem, you know, this has been going on now for about 5 years, right? And you're starting to see this effect of people kind of expecting fire season, right? So people kind of refer to this season in kind of late summer, early autumn as fire season, in a way that, at least, you know, I don't remember people doing kind of 10 years ago. And so, you know, people are starting to expect that, oh, there's going to be these wildfires. And obviously this year they were really large. And so it's kind of, again, like shifting that perception of what we might expect every year.
There's also that culture on Twitter, though, isn't there, about how things become popular and stay current. How can you be sure that people stopped tweeting about extreme weather because they had got used to it, as opposed to just thinking, oh, other people aren't going to be that interested in this, but it still bugs me?
Well, we can't resolve that in this study, but I think it's important. But I think either way, the kind of phenomenon we document is important, right? Because if you ask people and say, you know, is this weather unusual? And people say, kind of stop and think and say yes, you know, but they stop talking about it because they infer that it's not a kind of interesting subject of conversation anymore. I think that's still telling you something about the social normalization of the conditions, even if at the individual level, people are still able to perceive these differences.
You also did something called sentiment analysis, didn't you, to work out what kind of lingering effect the weather might be having, even if people weren't specifically discussing it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting piece of the study. And so our question here was, well, if people stop talking about the weather, right, one explanation might be that they've kind of fully adapted to it, right? So these kind of uncomfortable conditions, maybe people kind of bought a new winter coat to adjust to the kind of colder winter conditions, or they bought an air conditioner to adjust to the hotter temperatures, and maybe they're not tweeting about it because they're not being affected by it as much. And that would kind of be a good news story, all right? In contrast to this normalization story, which is where people are still being adversely affected by the changed climate, but they're just not talking about it because they don't think it's interesting anymore. And we were able to So we were able to distinguish these two things using the sentiment analysis. And so what that does is we look at all the tweets. And so these are not tweets about weather. Kind of, this is all the other tweets. So these are like people might be talking about what they had for lunch, or about the sporting events, or what was on the TV. And we look at kind of just how positive or how negative on average the words in the tweet are. So it's telling you something about the average mood of people kind of tweeting on that day. And what you see is that these extreme temperatures, so very cold, cold, and very hot, hot, have this negative effect on sentiment. And that negative effect on sentiment doesn't go away. So these kind of adverse weather conditions are making people miserable continuously, even though they stop talking about them.
Wow. I found this fascinating, Fran Moore. I grew up in a regional country area of Australia, and lots of older people remember things being different when they were younger weather-wise. People are very keen to tell you if the rainfall was higher or winters were colder back in the day. How certain are you from this study of tweets that this is some kind of universal human trait that we adapt to changing extremes?
Yeah, so I don't think we want to kind of overstate kind of what we found here. And so it's very much about the kind of, what we're documenting here is this kind of this social phenomenon of people kind of stop talking about these conditions. The question of, if you were to go to someone and ask them, is the weather different right now? And whether they would say yes or no, I think is a slightly different one. And I think for a lot of people, it's true that if you stop to reflect on, you know, well, is this different from how it was 10 or 20 years ago? Many people would, I think, probably be able to accurately tell you kind of, you know, at least their perceptions of it, right? But the fact is that people just stop talking about it, right? And so that change becomes invisible in the kind of social setting, even if at this individual setting, people can still recognize it.
And did that shock you as someone who researches climate change and looks right back through the historical record that it only takes us around 5 years to stop talking about it?
Yeah, I do. I think the how clear this result was, it was certainly something we were kind of thinking might be there, but kind of just how clear it was in this Twitter data was quite remarkable, I think, to us. And then the kind of the implications it has for the perception of climate change are quite serious. So we match our model of these shifting baselines, this rapid normalization with output from a climate model. And what you see is that if people are adjusting their sense of normal this quickly, people are going to continuously be surprised by cold weather events on a fairly regular basis, even though in historical terms, the climate is getting extremely warm.
Okay, so people might be misled into thinking, oh, this is cold, when actually it's not even as cold as it used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Fran, are there ways for people to fight against this creeping trend, the kind of boiling water rising up around the metaphorical frog, and remind ourselves of the actual reality of the changing climate?
Yeah, I mean, this is all kind of speculation on our part, so we haven't done any research on this. But what I would suggest to people is kind of going back to kind of looking at these longer term historical records and checking one's perception of what the conditions are against those conditions. And this is particularly true for kind of these kind of cold winter perception of, say, cold winters, for example, where it feels really cold, right, in an absolute sense. But then you look at a historical sense, and you know, it often those winters are much warmer than they used to be.
That's a really interesting question, isn't it, for people trying to make action or inspire action on climate change, and I guess for science communicators too. Does it have implications for how you try and convey your data to a wider public?
Yeah, I would say, I think that, so there has been some research kind of pointing to the fact that if it's hot outside, or kind of particularly unusually hot outside, and you ask people, do you believe in climate change, people are slightly more likely to say yes. And so I think there was maybe some idea that, well, we could kind of just wait for climate change to get bad enough, and eventually everyone's going to believe in climate change. And I think this line of evidence kind of points to the fact that that's not true, and that people normalize and adjust to the changing climate. And so people's perceptions might be very different from kind of this, you know, what the climate looks like in this very long-term historical context that people aren't necessarily using to evaluate their own experience.
Wow. So if you're publishing a climate change related paper, launch it outside on a hot day seems to be the lesson from this study. Fran Moore, it's been absolutely fascinating looking over your findings with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Fran Moore, Assistant Professor at the University of California, Davis, where she researches the economic and social impacts of climate change. And if you're interested in weather, particularly extreme weather, you make sure you catch Craig Rucastle's latest series on ABC TV. It's called Big Weather. The third and final episode goes to air next Tuesday at 8:30, or they're all on iView. And it's part of Your Planet, a season of stories exploring our environment and looking for solutions to the climate challenge. There's a whole stack of resources there for you too. Worth a look. Just search online for ABC Your Planet. This is Life Matters.